Let's welcome in our good friend Andrew Feinstein from DenverStiffs.com.
Andrew, is it Feinstein or Feinstein?
Feinstein. All right. The same as the sports writer and the pianist, but I think the senator pronounces it differently.
All right, very good.
Well, we butcher those names all the time.
And you know it's Darius and not Darius.
Right. And unfortunately, I'm not related to any of the three. So.
All right, just one.
You know what screwed me up as a kid? Les Shapiro, our friend Les Shapiro.
Yeah.
And then there's another guy, Shapiro, in town.
That's right.
So which one is it?
Oh, we don't go for that Shapiro stuff.
Why did he call us Shapiro?
That's a great question. That's a question for him. We should have him on.
All right.
All right. We can do that. Andrew, so Vic has now come up with this statistic that only 6% of teams, frankly, I find it hard to believe, that lose the first two games on the road, come back and win the series, making this essentially a must game tonight for the Nuggets. You buying that?
Vic is correct.
I am actually
at DenverStiffs.com at my site at 9 o'clock this morning. I'm running a post that points out that very statistic. And it's not that good after being down one game to zero. I think the team down one game to zero only wins about 23% of the time. So history is officially against us, but it gets really ugly if we go down 0-2.
Well, Andrew, do the numbers because you're smart enough to do this. If it's a 4-5 seed, because I'd have to think it's a little better.
It doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter.
I'd have to think it's better than 6%.
Gary, let me. I'm going to speak slowly, Andrew, for Gary.
Andrew, I mean, it's different if it's a 1-8 seed to a 4-5 seed.
Here we go. You ready? Of all the NBA playoff teams who have ever played in the NBA playoffs in a 7-game series.
All I'm telling you is that
if you're down 0-2 as the visiting team.
Andrew, you've got to do this for me. The number will be better if with the 4-5 seeds.
They might, and I wish I had that data, and I apologize that I didn't bring that with me this morning. It's only happened 14 times in NBA history in Game 7 series where a team has come back from a 0-2 deficit to win a series, and that's why it's only 6%. How many of those 14 were 4-5 matchups, that I can't speak to. And you'd think that, you know, what I always look at is what was the margin of game difference in the regular season? And in this case, you know, the Thunder and the Nuggets were only 5 games apart, so you could argue that they're pretty evenly matched. But it's going to be pretty ugly if we lose tonight. And it doesn't mean we lose hope. It doesn't mean that this won't go 7 games. But history's dramatically against us at that point.
Well, I tell you, Andrew, the worst thing that can happen tonight, in my opinion, is another close game where the Nuggets are in control, and then all of a sudden they fall apart down the stretch. Because if that happens, then you lose all confidence.
Well, they need to start winning some close games, guys. You know, that's the way it is. I mean, we all love these new look Nuggets. I'm enamored with them more so probably than anybody else. But they have to start closing some games. You know, this isn't a 46-minute game. This is a 48-minute game. And they played great the other night. They played pretty well against the Thunder here in Denver a couple weeks ago. But a lot of these close games are reminding me of, if you guys remember, that second game with the new-look Nuggets where we went into Portland.
Yes,
and we had that game under control.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they made a few bonehead plays. They missed a couple free throws down the stretch. And sure enough, the Blazers stole a game from us. And at some point, we have to be the ones stealing these close games, or our summer vacation is going to start really early.
Well, you're right. You know, so many people say, well, the Nuggets, if they hit their free throws the other night. But that's not who they are. I mean, they're not going to hit their free throws. They don't have guys who hit free throws now the way they used to. So, I mean, that's just one aspect of the game, and George readily admits that that's not nearly as good as it used to be.
Yeah, well, that's true, and you know, then I don't know what to say. If you're not going to make your free throws, then you better not find yourself in a 2-point game in the last minute. And if you're worried about the refs favoring the home team and things like that, you can't worry about that stuff. You have to punch these guys out, and that means you better be up, you know, 7-8 points with a minute to go. Because if you can't count on your free throw shooting, and you certainly can't count on the officiating, you know, you better be up, and that's how they're going to have to win this game tonight. And I think they can win this game tonight, but it's going to take some adjustments.
Well, here's what scares the hell out of me. You can't ask for a better start than what the Nuggets produced in Game 1. They made their first 7 shots.
Okay, they couldn't miss.
So you can't ask for a better start, up by 13, and they still found a way to lose that game. So are we asking them to maybe start slower and get better as the game goes on? I don't know what we're asking. We're just asking them to win the game. Andrew, if you're George Karl, what do you do differently defensively in Game 2? Do you send two at Durant? Do you just one-on-one Durant? Because he seems stuck in his ways that he's going to play Durant one-on-one most of the game.
You know, I've always been one of these believers, and I think it worked really well for the Hawks the other night against the Magic. Certainly not last night, but it did in Game 1. I've always thought, you know what, these superstars in the modern NBA, they don't go for 50 anymore. They don't go for 60 anymore. They just don't. So let him get his 40. and shut everybody else down. I would make it difficult. I would put Wilson Chandler on him a hell of a lot more than we did in game one. And I'd have Wilson Chandler, who I think is a very versatile defender. He's very long. I'd have him guarding Durant on the perimeter. And if Durant beats Wilson Chandler, that's where Kenyon Martin comes into play. And that's where Kenyon Martin better make Durant think twice about coming to the free throw line, something that Durant does very well. And then I think you have to worry about everybody else, and those guys are very shaky shooters. You know, with every single, whether it was from 3 to 9 feet or 10 to 15 feet or 3-point range, in every single category, the Thunder shot substantially better in Game 1 than they shot all season long. So, you know, they're not going to make those jump shots in every single game. And I think that argues for the Nuggets probably having a decent defensive plan. It's just they made a lot of shots.
You had some outstanding analysis after Game 1 at your website, denverstiffs.com, on exactly that topic about how they had a much better shooting percentage than they normally do. Russell Westbrook, in my opinion, you're not going to get him to shoot that well every night. I would let Russell Westbrook, I would invite him to shoot the ball as much as possible because he seems to be the type of guy that is so selfish he'll want to take the game over.
Well, I think that you're bringing up a lot of good points, though, and that's the bottom line. I mean, we barely lost Game 1. They made a ton of shots, and so it's hard to argue that they should make some major adjustments going into Game 2, other than I would make Durant's life a little more difficult. And the Nuggets have to have – I'm sure they, in theory, had a set play for that last, 30 seconds or whatever, but they have to have better set plays down the stretch.
Who do you have on the court?
I know George Karl can write – terrific out of timeout plays. I've seen him do it here for 5 years now. Why they were so undisciplined in that last minute is just appalling, and they cannot do that tonight.
Yeah, if they inbound the ball successfully, yeah. I guess they
well, that too.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's talk about that. You know, final 30 seconds, the game is on the line.
Same circumstances.
I mean, you say, okay, yeah, there you are. I mean, I'm saying that they go pick and roll. That's what they do best with loss in an NA two-man game. I don't think there's anybody here you clear the side for. What's your offense in the final seconds when you need a basket to win the game?
Look, I love pick and roll, too. My only concern with it ending up in Nene's hand is that he's going to get fouled, and I can't count on him at the free throw
line. That's for sure, yeah.
And it almost makes you want to take your chances with the Gallinari or even Chandler maybe taking a big shot. I mean, Gallinari has shown that he'll take it. Whether he'll make it or not is a different story, but what I like about Gallinari is you know you're going to get a good look. And maybe the trick is you do a pick and roll and a dish out to Gallinari. It just depends on the scenario. It's really unfortunate that we don't have a Aflalo because Aflalo has, he had that huge game winner against the Mavericks, and he's made some big shots for us throughout the year. He'd come in handy here.
And he's their best free throw shooter, Andrew. That's the thing. He's their best free throw shooter on the court, and you're not with that. It hurts not to have that in there.
Well, this free throw shooting, I know you guys said they're just not going to make their free throws, and maybe that's true, but it's just unacceptable. I mean, I mentioned to somebody the other day, I said if I was running practice on Tuesday and Wednesday, I'd bus in 500 high school kids from Oklahoma City, I'd give them all Thunder sticks, I'd bring in some huge speakers and pump some annoying music in there, and I'd make the Nuggets shoot about 2,000 free throws in practice.
You know what I would do? I'd make them listen to this show as they shoot free throws.
You know what? I'd see if we get a 12-year-old kid to shoot free throws for Nene.
Right.
You see if we can substitute somebody. It is unbelievable. Andrew, going to be fun tonight, and it's a 6 o'clock start, so we'll be ready to go early tonight and see how the Nuggets do. Not easy. The conventional wisdom is you get one chance.
It's a must-win, Gary. Don't try and deny that.
I'm just saying this. The conventional wisdom is you go on the road, you get one chance, and the fear is the Nuggets had their chance the other night, and sometimes the second game is a blowout. We hope that doesn't happen tonight.
Well, look, all three of us have been around long enough. I've seen it all happen. I've seen teams down 2-0 and win four straight. I've seen it go, home and home and home and home and home, and then it comes down to a seventh game that could have gone either way. I mean, look, the math's not on our side by any means, but I also think that, to your point earlier, being a 4-5 matchup, the gap is a little closer between these two teams, and I don't think it's all is lost if we lose.
Andrew, run those numbers for us. I mean, somebody – run those numbers when you get to the office. We need somebody smart. 4-5 matchups.
That's a lot of work.
It's only been 14 series.
That's a lot of work, Gary.
Andrew's smart.
Yeah, you got to look that stuff up.
But I have a day job. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to find our resident statisticians who deserve a lot of credit for that breakdown the other day. Their names are Matt and Chris. They do a terrific job for us at Denver Stiffs. I might assign them that one.
Right, I'll leave you with this, Andrew. And the one thing that I've got that I hold out hope Last year at this time, the Denver Nuggets were the home team. They won game one pretty convincingly against Utah and ended up losing the series. I'm hoping the reverse takes place this year, all right? You can win game one. That's fine. You can also come back in game two and take control of the series. It's been done before.
Andrew, thanks. Great job. We enjoyed talking to you.
Gentlemen, anytime, go Nuggets, and make sure you end your day early enough to catch tip-off.
Yeah, there you go. 6 o'clock tip-off tonight in Oklahoma City, a couple of minutes after 6 o'clock. Thank you to Andrew Feinstein from DenverStiffs.com.